Thanks everybody for being here. It's great to be a part of this session where we're really thinking about cover crops and tillage and all sorts of different functions. And so today I want to talk about some ongoing work that my collaborators and I are doing, sort of honing in on one aspect of one positive aspect of how cover crops and reduced tillage are affecting our soil microbial communities, in particular on mycorrhizae. So I doubt that mycorrhizae need a lot of introduction to this crowd, but of course they're an ancient association between roots and soil fungi going back hundreds of millions of years and forming associations with the majority of terrestrial plants. And just broadly speaking, mycorrhizae can increase plant resilience to biotic and abiotic stresses and enhance use of soil resources. The most well-characterized, of course, is in phosphorus uptake, plant phosphorus nutrition, but we're also understanding that mycorrhizae can be beneficial for a lot of other reasons. One of the ones that our group has been interested in is in increasing plant responses to water stress. And so that's one of the motivations for this project here was a field study that we did a couple of years ago where we had a mycorrhizal and a non-mycorrhizal tomato genotype, and we're able to show one of the first times in the field that mycorrhizae can increase yields by 25%, increase leaf gas exchange, increase the capacity for root water uptake, even under a 50% decline in water applied. But even though this study took place on an organic farm, our root colonization levels were relatively low, and so we became really interested. And so why is that the case? You'd expect colonization to be pretty high on an organic farm. And so it's coming as no surprise, though, that there's a lot of practices in annual agriculture that have a lot of negative impacts on the mycorrhizal community, namely soil disturbance through tillage that breaks up hyphae and bare winter fallows that where there aren't roots around for these obligate biotrophs to reproduce and persist over the winter. And so there's been a lot of work done over the last few decades on alternatives like cover crops and NOAA reduced tillage. And so we wanted to take this as an opportunity to synthesize some of these data. And so we did a meta-analysis of how cover crops and alternative tillage regimes are affecting mycorrhizae. So we were looking for field studies that compared a cover crop versus a bare fallow or conventional tillage versus some sort of alternative tillage regime. And so here, let me just walk you through sort of a typical study. So this is a schematic just from one of the studies that we included in the cover crop portion of the meta-analysis. So this was a 2014 study. They were comparing three different types of cover crops, a vetch, brassica cover crop, and then a cover crop mix to a control that was bare soil over the winter. Following termination and incorporation of those cover crops, they planted maize in all of the plots and then assessed roots for colonization and for other functions. And so, as Mike mentioned, there's a lot of different ways to assess sort of the effects on mycorrhizae, the effects of these types of practices on mycorrhizae. We could look at spore counts or fatty acids. We chose to use the plant as sort of a phytometer of the functioning of mycorrhizae, so we looked at colonization of cash crop roots as sort of a metric of abundance and the propensity for formation of mycorrhizae and potentially function. We also looked at some measure of mycorrhizal community composition from root or soil samples. So we extracted these data from a number of different studies and then analyzed them using mixed effects models in the R package metaphor. So this allowed us to account for the fact that some of these studies had multiple treatments, multiple cover crops, and we could use some statistical techniques with random effects to account for that. So in total, we had 47 field studies looking at either cover crops or tillage, and in a handful of cases, both from across the world that fit all of our criteria. So these studies span five continents, 17 studies on cover crops and 30 on tillage. So let's just jump right in. So I'm just going to go over the graphs real quick because they're going to be kind of the same ones for the presentation. So On the x-axis here, we have the percent change in mycorrhizal colonization of cash crop roots. And so for this comparison, it's comparing the cover crop versus the bare soil. Our dot is the mean change, and then these are 95% confidence intervals. This is a dashed line at zero, so if these error bars aren't overlapping zero, it means the cover crop significantly increased colonization. So across all of the trials, we see a 32% increase in colonization of cash crop roots relative to the bare fallow. But a number of factors influence the extent of that change. So here we're looking at some moderator variables, and these p-values are referring to the significance of the moderator variable. And so as you'd expect, the type of cover crop had a really big influence on the change. Namely, as you might expect, whether the cover crop was a mycorrhizal host or not had an effect. So if the cover crop was a host, it had higher values of a higher change. But we also had a number of non-mycorrhizal hosts that were included in these studies as cover crops, radish, rapeseed, mustard. And something that was a little bit unexpected is that we were also seeing an increase in colonization even when there were non-mycorrhizal hosts around. And at first this was a little perplexing, but I think digging into some of these discussion sections, a lot of the authors mentioned that there were a fair number of weeds in these treatments, and I think it may be a relatively low threshold of weeds that are mycorrhizal hosts that allow for an increase in colonization on that subsequent cash crop. If we divide out those cover crops just a little bit more, we see that legumes tend to have a higher exert a higher change in colonization than grasses or non-legume dicots, and that does include mostly the non-AM hosts. So some other factors. What cash crop it was mostly corn and soybeans. That did not have a very strong effect on the change. This included a whole group of crops, and so I think that's why there's this heterogeneity here. Soil available phosphorus as a moderator variable wasn't significant. It's pretty well accepted that high phosphorus levels can impede mycorrhizal development, and we see sort of a trend here in the right direction, at least, where at high soil phosphorus levels, we don't see as much of a change in colonization, but then, the error bars are a mile wide. And I think one of the reasons for this is that all of these studies are using different metrics of soil available phosphorus, Olson, Bray, Caldwell, and it's difficult to kind of reconcile these numbers together. So if anybody is an expert on soil phosphorus availability and wants to talk about how we might be able to do this better, I'd love to hear from you. So tillage, surprisingly, following a cover crop, didn't change the extent of the increase in colonization. And we have a couple of reasons, thoughts on why this might be the case. And I think this is great following up on Mike's talk, where we think there's probably more spores in these cover crop soils, and the spores aren't going to be as impacted by tillage as hyphae. It could also be the case that hyphae and roots are surviving, and cover crop roots are surviving for that time in between termination of the cover crop and tillage and then planting of the cash crop. And for the spores, we do see some support for that from the data that we were analyzing. This is from another study that showed significantly higher numbers of mycorrhizal spores from vetch and a mix relative to a control and a brassica cover crop. All right. So let's now move on to the sort of tillage portion of the meta-analysis. So now it's the same type of graph, but now we're looking at a conventional tillage regime. Usually this was a moldboard plow, so a deep kind of inversion tillage versus some sort of alternative tillage regime. And across all of our studies, we saw a similar increase in colonization, 28% relative to conventional tillage. And this was also influenced by a number of factors. First, what type of alternative tillage that was. We divided it into four groups. No tillage regimes, which were the bulk of our data. We classified non-inversion tillage, which was mainly a chisel tillage. Shallow inversion, which is included disking and rototillage, and then ridge tillage, which is only had a few, but is a form of tillage only a small proportion of the field surface is disturbed. There's not a real clear pattern happening here, but maybe the no-till is slightly higher than the other ones. We also had, we divided out, there was a handful of studies that where the conventional tillage type was a shallow inversion instead of this moldboard plow, and we don't see any difference really between those, just really wide air bars. Again, the cash crop type didn't exert a strong effect, and the sampling stage for roots didn't have a real strong effect either. We had thought that maybe we might see a more of an effect early on in the growing season than later. But what was interesting was that in these tillage studies that also included a cover crop, we see a higher change in colonization with studies that had a cover crop, so 42% versus 25% with studies that didn't have a cover crop. And I think it's important to note that all of the studies in the tillage treatments had legumes, and so we saw earlier that legumes seemed to have a more of a positive effect. So that could account for this sort of added bonus here of adding in a cover crop in addition to this reduced tillage. We didn't see a significant effect of soil texture, maybe a trend towards heavier soils having less of a change. And again, we have very wide air bars on our soil phosphorus, so we're still trying to figure out how to deal with that. Okay, so just some quick summary. Both cover crops and alternative tillage regimes are effective at increasing colonization of roots by mycorrhizae. And what I think is important to note is that cover crops were increasing colonization to a similar extent as reducing tillage. And I think this is really important for our systems that are reliant on tillage, like organic agriculture that relies on tillage for incorporation of organic matter and for weed control, where reducing tillage is not particularly easy. But they're also reliant on soil microbial processes. And so if these organic systems can include a cover crop, they may not be losing out on too much of the potential benefits, at least from the standpoint of the extent that the roots are colonized. But then, you know, we also do see some evidence that combining more resource availability through cover crop roots and reducing disturbance by reducing tillage could maximize colonization of roots in annual cropping systems. And so I didn't have much of a chance to delve into the community side of things. We're still sort of working through some of these data. It is a little more complicated than we expected. For cover crops, we have five studies that fit our criteria that measured mycorrhizal community composition following a cover crop. Two out of those five show increases in taxa richness. One out of those shows increases in diversity. And for our tillage, we had 15 studies that met our criteria, but some preliminary analysis is showing that it's really highly variable. We definitely see studies where there's a significant effect of reducing tillage on that increases diversity or increases richness, but they're not very consistent. You know, the changes in the mycorrhizal communities may be a little bit more site-specific than the changes in the formation of mycorrhizae and roots. You know, maybe more dependent on site history, on the landscape around it, the colonization, you know, where these additional different mycorrhizae may be coming from. So that's still a work in progress. And so I definitely want to acknowledge all of the researchers who actually did all of these, the hard part of this, all of the field work and the years of managing these trials, and then also acknowledge funding sources from the NSF and from California Department of Food and Ag. If I have any time for questions, I'd be happy to take them. Yeah, that's a great question. We did look at, we included year of how many years into these trials, as another potential moderator. I didn't show it, but we weren't seeing any effect of more years on the cover crop. I think the least number of years we looked at studies that only had a cover crop for 1 year, and so we're seeing a pretty fast effect. Maybe is a different story with the tillage. We didn't see a strong effect of number of years in that either, though. So I think these effects are happening fairly quickly. Yeah. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you.